And President Trump was also touting a new immigration plan last night at a rally in West Virginia.
For many years, America has issued most of its green cards to lower-skilled immigrants and people that had no hope of getting a job, undermining blue-collar workers and wages, and costing taxpayers billions and billions of dollars a year.
Trump unveiled the details of that proposal this week at the White House with two Republican senators. It would cut in half the number of people allowed to immigrate into the country legally over the next decade, and it would give priority to English-speaking immigrants who are educated and high-skilled. Lant Pritchett is an economist at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government and a senior fellow at the Center for Global Development. We're going to check out the details of this bill with him. Professor, welcome.
Glad to be here.
Let's start with the fundamental premise of this bill, that low-skilled immigrant workers harm American workers and drive down their wages. Is that true?
That's just completely false. We know that that's false through an enormous accumulation of research. And in particular, we have two really good, clear kind of natural experiments of things that happened. One was the Mariel boat lift, where all of a sudden the supply of low-wage workers in the Miami labor market went up by about 28% in the course of 6 months.
This was in the 1980s when many people came from Cuba.
Right. And they didn't come to Miami because it was a particularly hot labor market. They came to Miami because all of a sudden they could get out of Cuba. So it was a clean, natural experiment of people just showing up in a labor market. We have, as economists, have researched that there is zero impact on workers generally, zero impact on high school educated or less workers, and now the latest research shows even zero impact on less than high school educated workers. Basically, you compare Miami to other labor markets in the United States, no difference over the time period from this huge, massive, sudden arrival of immigrants. And let me give you one second example is we actually used to have a temporary low-skill program called the Bracero program back in the 1960s with 500,000 annual workers coming through that program. We eliminated that program. Again, we've done research comparing states that had Bracero workers to states that didn't have Bracero workers. What happened when the Bracero workers disappeared? No impact on agricultural employment, no impact on agriculture worker wages of natives. It just changed technology and changed the composition of things farmers could do. It just does not benefit low-skill workers to eliminate low-skill migrants.
But help me understand the reason why, because the logic would tell you that if there were fewer unskilled workers, that the supply of the labor force would be constricted. Why wouldn't that raise wages for native workers?
Well, because basically look around you. You now go to an ATM. When you go to a retail store, what do? You ring up your own groceries. When it snows in Boston, you know, middle-class people are out there with a piece of machinery called a snowblower shoveling their own walks. Basically, what happens is technology adapts so that you get rid of the low-skill jobs altogether, whereas firms would have hired people for those jobs, they invent machines to do them instead.
Hmm. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, who is one of the sponsors of this bill, says the country's immigration system should focus on two goals, and he laid them out at the White House this week.
One, it should help American workers get a decent pay raise and have a higher standard of living. And two, it should help promote economic growth, make America more competitive in the world.
So you have made the point that the first part of that comment doesn't apply, that it would not give American workers a pay raise. But what about that second idea? Isn't it true that bringing well-educated English-speaking immigrants to this country would in fact be good for the economy and make America more competitive?
Absolutely. I am all for America picking up on the best and the brightest from around the world in order to make our society and economy vibrant and diverse and highly productive. I'm all for high-skill migration. But wanting more high-skill migration doesn't mean you need less low-skill migration. And low-skill migration is actually needed in the U.S. economy. The Bureau of Labor Statistics puts out forecasts of job growth. And they forecast that over the next decade, there's going to be 3.6 million additional low-skill non-substitutable jobs, jobs that you really have to be there to do, like cut grass and bus tables and take care of children. These aren't things that we can offshore. These aren't things that are easily mechanized. There's going to be 3.6 million of those low-skilled jobs, and there's only 1.7 million additional workers. So even if every American went to work in these low-skilled jobs, we still couldn't fill all these low-skilled jobs. And when we don't fill these low-skilled jobs, it's not good for the economy. It drives American businesses out from not being able to get the workers they need, and it creates technological shifts that actually in the long run are also bad for American low-skill workers.
Which makes me think that in this bill there is a distinction between giving out green cards, for instance, a path to citizenship, and a guest worker program. This proposed bill is not a guest worker program. Could you envision a system where a more robust guest worker program allows those workers to come into the country to do the jobs that you just described?
I can not only envision such a system, I've written a book called Let Their People Come about exactly that kind of system. We could easily expand the number of workers that we have here temporarily. In fact, a lot of people who want to migrate from poor countries around the world don't want to come and change their residence permanently. They want an opportunity to work in a high productive economy for a period of time. Even during the heyday of American open-door policies in the early 20th century, almost half of immigrants who came to the United States went back to their home countries, even when there were no restrictions. So a robust, large-scale system of temporary workers could easily meet the demand for low-skill workers and not have the downsides that giving green cards more on the basis of relationships and family reunification rather than contribution to the economy.
Hmm. Lant Pritchett is a professor of international development at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. He's also a senior fellow at the Center for Global Development. Professor Pritchett, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.